Richard Baxter said regarding family devotions, not only scripture, but reason and experience point to the necessity of family worship, family devotions, family altar. Amen, somebody. Join me, my beloved, in reciting, if you can, or reading the new Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. And really, if you don't do this in a ritualistic fashion, my dear friends, you get a blessing from it. And just that phrase we just read, God, the maker, God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. If that's the case, if that's true, then you don't need to be fretting and worried about things, because you serve a God who is in control of everything. Amen, somebody. You need to stop fretting and worrying and being burdened down and always under the circumstances instead of being over the circumstances, because you serve the God who made everything visible and invisible. So you don't need to be worried about a thing if that's the God you serve. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, another name for him, means God with us. And so, I know some folks don't like for me to say it, but every now and then I'll make it very clear. God loved you so much, He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, because Jesus Christ is God. Now that's love for you. Okay? That's love for you, man. That's love. That's mind-blowing love. The Chinese brother Chan says that's crazy love right there. That's crazy love. I didn't understand where he was coming from in the beginning. Oh, but I understand it now. That's crazy love. That's when Chan says that's crazy love, that means that it's love beyond measure. It's not on the Richter scale. It's beyond that. Amen, somebody. Of the same essence as the Father. Jesus, of the same essence as the Father. You better pay attention to what you're saying now when you do these things. Through Him all things were made. Boom, there you go again. For us and for salvation, He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. The third day He rose again according to the scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe, as Christians, in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen and amen. Beloved, let's look at the family verses from the Word of God. Do not be shocked at this. Do not think anybody is picking on anybody. We have read this passage, Ephesians chapter 5, starting with the family verses, verse 22, I believe it is, dealing with the wife, then dealing with the husband, then dealing with the parents, then dealing with the children, then dealing with the parents. And then we have included Ephesians chapter 6 because it deals with the devil seeking to destroy the building block of society, the building block of the church, if you will, and that is the family, the first institution that God created. Join us in reading Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. We're still there. Now, we did not do this over the past 30 years. We just read the whole passage every day. And I would expound on whatever the Lord laid on my heart to expound on, if you will. And but we are walking through this using Bible-believing writers and their commentaries on this so that you won't think I'm picking on anybody. Right now, it would be foolish for me to pick on husbands because I am a husband too. But that's the wonderful thing about the Word of God is God deals with everybody. God's Word is the authority over everybody, including the husbands and the fathers and the wives and the mothers. And so you just leave it in God's hands. I assure you that God will deal with that man. And the more you leave it in his hands, the more God will deal with him. But if you try to help God, then you're going to have a problem on your hands. Just be meek and quiet. Have a meek and quiet spirit. Now, being meek and quiet and having a meek and quiet spirit is two different things. You'll get that by freight. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And with the false teaching that pastors have taught, even in and especially in evangelical circles, white and black, with the aim of trying to win over that woman who they think that if she's happy, the whole family will be happy, which is a lie of the devil, and that's not the truth. And what normally happens is the man who was once coming with the wife, he's been beat up so much and laughed at so much by the pastor and the women in the church that he doesn't come anymore. He just stays home and watches the football game with the remote control in his hand, and he may look at a preacher for about 15 minutes, but is not the pastor of the church, because he's been humiliated and embarrassed by the pastor and his wife. And so many men have just thrown in the towel and stayed home because of the false teaching that if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. A happy wife, happy life. No, that's not biblical. And we're not here to make our wives happy. The truth of the matter is only God can make anybody happy. And if you are obedient to God and you trust God and you love God and you fear God and you obey God and you're faithful to God and you're saved and you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you cannot help but be happy. And not only happy, cheerful, joyful, and at peace. I don't care if you're male or female. Yes, there are happy women in the world. Genuinely happy. They get up happy. They go to bed happy. They enjoy their lives, every moment of it, just like I enjoy mine. And it's not contingent upon a man. It's not contingent upon a woman. It's not even contingent upon your children being happy. Some of you people are controlled by the demonic ups and downs and emotional roller coasters of people who are disobedient to God. And you should not be. If they want to be that way, that's fine. But you don't have to live your life like that, up and down, up and down. Come on. That's ridiculous. And with that said, I want to say more about it. Maybe the Lord will give me the liberty to do that. But right now, David Guzik writes in his Enduring Word commentary on the Bible the idea of not having spot or wrinkle isn't that the bride is in this state before the wedding day, but on the wedding day. We are made this pure in heaven when we are joined to Jesus Christ in a way beyond all previous experience. The Holy Ghost seems to exhaust language to describe this purity. He says, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, she shall have nothing like a spot, nothing that can be construed into a wrinkle. She shall be fair, and the world shall be compelled to acknowledge that she is. When Christ presents his church to himself with all of the principalities and powers and the ranks for all of the potentates of heaven looking on at this marvelous thing and scrutinizing and examining her, there will not be a single blemish. There will not be a spot upon her. The most careful examination will not be able to detect the slightest speck of unworthiness or of sin. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the family verses. We thank you, Lord, for gaining greater understanding, Lord, through gifted teachers. And we pray that everybody would simply obey your holy word and get the victory in their lives and help everybody line up under your authority in the right place and to submit to your word and to your will. And be the husband, the wife, the father, the mother, the children that you want all of us to be. And do that wonderful thing that you do in some families that belong to you. That amazing thing where you can take a single unit family, a small family, and shake up the world. By the power of your Holy Spirit and by the power of your Holy Word. It does not take a whole lot. for, as someone has stated, that God and you make a majority. Little as much when God is in it. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that if a family would simply obey you, a family would simply obey your holy word that we're reading here, and not be hypocrites, one way at home, devilish, hellacious, disobedient, mean, stubborn, rebellious at home, but then want to act like angels in the street and not tell the truth and be honest and transparent. Lord, you can, once that family confesses a sin and repents, you can use that family to shake up the world. And you have done so, and you're doing so right now. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for what you have done. So, Lord, heal every Christian marriage and family if people want to be healed. If they're willing to confess their sins and to repent of their sins and to turn from their evil ways and their lying and their dishonesty and their deceit and their hypocrisy. And help them to realize in Christian families that they indeed do live in a glass house. Certainly the roof is glass because you can see right down into it. But discerning people can see right through them as well. And one of the saddest things in the history of the world is not only people who think they can fool you, but people who think they can fool other people. And that is just not the case. And so, Lord, we pray that you would lead true Christian families to yourself and to revival and to healing, and save families that don't know you as Savior, and transform them and change them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, our devotional passage for today is Psalm 111, 6 through 10. Yes, we read the family verses every day first, and then we would read a continuation of whatever book we're reading. We read whole books of the Bible at times, particularly the minor prophets, so-called, and the letters of Paul. We just rip, if you were ripped right on through them. But I tried to make sure that the Word of God ripped right on through us. And I did not just run through the Scriptures. But it was a joy to read whole books of the Bible at a time. My oldest daughter, Danny, is still doing that. And I'm encouraging all of my children to do that. In fact, I want all of you to follow, including my wife, to follow Danny's example and read an entire... Read two books of the Bible today, one minor prophet and one of the letters, and let it speak to your heart. And as I did this with my family down through the past 30 years, and you must understand, I'm only able to do these public devotionals, if you will, is because I did it privately in the closet of our family, the family closet, if you will, for 30 years. And I know what kind of hell you're going to catch in trying to do that. And I know how difficult it is. And I know how there are some who resist it and how the devil will work through that. But you need to do it. whoever is the head of your household needs to do that. Even if you are divorced, you need to somehow, if y'all are not married to somebody else yet, come together at least for family devotions. And who knows, you might be able to come back together like you should in the first place. Anyway, verse 6, the Bible reads, "He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen." And what I was saying is, when we read through books of the Bible and we read the Bible, what any time God wanted me to speak to an issue from the scriptures, I did so. I did not hesitate to do so. And loved doing so. And solved a lot of problems and nipped, in the words of Charles McKinney, nipped a whole lot of things in the bud. Verse 7, "The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness." The Nicholas sang a hymn this morning, that hymn we've been singing, Water Fellowship. "He sent redemption unto his people. He hath..." I'll tell you what, let's sing with Brother Dewey Smith again that same song. "Lord, keep me day by day." What a great devotional song. "They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness." Verse 9, "He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." The only somebody you ought to call reverend is God. You ought not to call any man a reverend, nor should you call him father. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do this, do his commandments rather. His praise endureth forever." Regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes, "God's works of providence were done according to the truth of the divine promises and prophecies. And by him who has a right to dispose of the earth as he pleases. All God's commandments are sure. All have been fulfilled by Christ and remain with him for a rule of walk and conversation to us. He sent redemption unto his people out of Egypt at first and often afterwards. And these were typical of the great redemption which in the fullness of time was to be wrought out by the Lord Jesus Christ. Here his everlasting righteousness shines forth in union with his boundless mercy. No man is wise who does not fear the Lord." Amen, somebody. And here, people have a misunderstanding of this. This is not about being afraid of the Lord. Fearing the Lord, it goes back to that word reverend, means to reverence him, to respect him to the point that you are afraid not of him, you are afraid of sin, and therefore you are afraid of him chastising you and causing you pain and taking away your blessings, but you're not afraid of him. You love him to the point of respecting him, reverencing him. See, God is big on respect. Don't disrespect God. You're going to get into a whole lot of trouble if you disrespect God, and you disrespect God by having the audacity and the foolishness in your heart to disobey him. See? So fear is all about reverence and respect to the point of obeying God. That you just not, I can't do that. Like Joseph told the fine all over the place. Potiphar was right, no, I can't do this evil against God. I've got to get my grip and my hat. I'll leave my shirt if I have to, but I got to get it. So when you get to that point in your Christian life, you got it going on. No man acts wisely except as influenced by that fear of God. This fear will lead to repentance. This fear will lead to faith in Christ. This fear will lead to watchfulness. And this fear will lead to obedience. Can somebody say amen? And I fear that most people in the church today, black, white, red, and yellow, do not have a healthy fear of God before their eyes. And therein lies the problem. I know I'm right about it. I don't need any amens. We're dealing with a bunch of foolish acting people. They have no fear of God before their eyes. And they do whatever. And they wonder why they're constantly in straits. Constantly being chastised. Constantly being buffeted. Constantly being exposed to satanic attack. Because if the devil can't, if the devil does not see you fear God, he knows he's got you. He's got you. He's got you. Sad to say, the devil got more fear of God than some of you in the church. Sad to say. There's some things the devil know he better not do. What? What? Oh, yes, buddy. Oh, no. The devil is not as stupid as you think he is. The devil got more fear of God than some folk in the church. Such persons are of a good understanding, however poor, unlearned, or despised. For those of you who are seeking the prosperity gospel and the prosperity lifestyle, don't forget God's poor. Because you'll find God with them. Join me, my beloved, in praying for the estates. You know what the estates are by now. Let's get to it. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your church, that we all would get on revival ground. Holy Father God, we pray for the government based upon your holy word that says, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Holy Father God, we pray for President Donald Trump, as we have prayed for every president since President Ronald Reagan. We pray for his administration. We pray for wisdom, that you would give him wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We pray that for his entire administration, Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Deputy Assistant to the President and Director of Advance, George Dukakis, all leaders of federal agencies, including Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, all state governors, including North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, all city mayors, including Stockton, California Mayor Michael Tubbs, all members of Congress, including California Representative Jimmy Panetta, all law enforcement officials, including St. Louis, Missouri Police Chief Sam Dotson. We pray for all military leaders, including General Terrence J. O'Shaughnessy, Commander of Pacific Air Forces, leaders of Commander of Pacific Air Forces, and Lord, let me not fail to pray for James Mad Dog Mattis. Lord, I just like him, and I like saying his name. And but bless him, Lord, in a very real way. We pray for all nations, leaders of all nations around the world. We pray for France's president, Emmanuel. He has the right kind of name, Macron, and Prime Minister Edouard Philippe as well. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray for our man, the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, a modern day David. We give you glory, praise, and honor for your servant there and keeping Israel and Jerusalem safe for everybody. And we pray that you would continue to lead him, guide him, and direct him. We already know he's not perfect, nor was David, and the rest of us. We're not perfect either. But Lord, help him to keep on slinging those stones to keep Israel, the promised land, the holy land, and Jerusalem safe. We also pray for the people and the citizens and across this country and around the globe. As usual, they are in an uproar right now, and but we know that you're in control. We do pray for the salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection and provision, blessings upon all of the people in these volatile times and times of great lack of certainty about things. And we pray that you would bless them and lead them, guide them, and direct them. We pray most of all for their salvation, not only in America, but around the globe. We also pray for the media. Save those who are lost in the traditional media and in the new media. Revive those who are saved. Bless and anoint and use and give the right balance to Christian media as it is rising more and more. We also pray for current events around the world. We pray for the comfort of the families of 13 people killed in an earthquake in Mexico. Comfort them as only you can. We pray for the comfort of the families of the 66 people killed in an airplane crash in Iran. We pray for the comfort of the families of the 18 people killed by suicide bombers in Nigeria this past weekend. We pray for the comfort of the families and church family of the 5 people killed in an ISIS attack on a church in Russia. And the Lord, comfort these people as only you can. Save those who are lost and revive those who are saved. We pray for the comfort of the families and community affected by the deadly high school shooting in Florida, which left 17 dead and 14 wounded. And we pray for the children, the young people, who are rising up, and I'm amazed at the eloquence of these high school students standing up for what they believe in. And we pray that, however, you would save those who are lost, help them to turn to Jesus, and, Lord, revive those who are Christians again and help them to be just as bold for speaking for Christ and turning many in their generation from darkness to light, and not just for the laws to be changed regarding guns and so forth. And Holy Father God, we pray now for all of the people who have sent in prayer requests totaling into the hundreds. And we thank you for the privilege and the honor of your entrusting us with those prayer requests. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision, blessings upon all of them. Hear and answer their prayers, and hear and answer our prayers for them. And we pray for a few by name. We pray for Bill. Please bless him with a pastoral opportunity, if that be your will. We pray for Patrick. Please save him and his family. Deliver them from violence and confusion. Please heal them from psychological sickness. Help him to get married. Be with his mother and father. Protect them from the devil and the world, and hear his prayers. Bring them into your presence. We pray for Esther. Please bless all of their lives, and bless them while they fast. Be with her son, her husband, and her mother, Veronica, and her children. Bless them with the funds they need. And we pray for those who have also trusted you as Savior through this ministry here at Gospel Light Society International and Gospel Light House of Prayer. Help these folks to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for Ellie. We pray for Daniel. We pray for Surday. And we also pray for those who have recommitted their lives to Christ through this ministry. Even though we don't give an invitation for this, we thank you for your Holy Spirit drawing people who are already saved back to yourself. We pray for Don. We pray for Mo. And we pray for Emmy. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading for today is titled Radical Adjustment to the Jesus Way by A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer goes on to say, the truth is that the world does not know where it is going. It has not found life's summum bonum, life's ultimate good. I told you A.W. Tozer is deep, so you need to put your thinking cap on when you listen to him or read him. I remember as a young Christian, I would read A.W. Tozer, and I'll get to the end of the chapter. Now, what did this man say? What is he talking about? It is not qualified as a model for the members of society to follow. Pardon me. It is instead puzzled, frightened, and frustrated. Generation follows generation into an uncertain future, completely beaten, disappointed, and sick at heart. Did you get that? It was to this kind of world that Jesus came, to save it from itself. He died for its sins and now lives for the salvation of all who will repudiate it, deny the validity of its philosophies, and put their trust wholly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who do this no longer seek to be adjusted to society. They have renounced this world and have chosen a new model after which to pattern their lives. This is the aspect of the Christian life that most people do not like. They want comfort, blessing, and peace, but they recoil from this radical revolutionary break with the world. To follow Christ in this rough and thoroughgoing way is too much for them. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this wonderful time together once again that you have afforded us. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for allowing us to gather around your holy word and in prayer as my family have done for 30 years in your sight. And oftentimes, as you know, Lord, our devotionals ran 2 and 3 and 4 hours. I thank you for the wonderful results that have taken place and in the lives of these children that you blessed me to be able to raise, and how they're going on now and serving you in and through other ministries as well as the ministry here. And we thank you for what you've done and for what you're doing, and thank you for leading me to go through those tough years and with faith in you and praying to you in the sight of these children each and every day, and reading your holy word to them and teaching them and expounding the word of God. And now what a wonderful foundation that is that they're springing from, and they're not perfect, but they are growing, some are growing faster than others, and Lord, you know all about it. So I pray for all of my children, and I thank you for the privilege of raising them and blessing me with so many children. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only for my children, but for all of the children under the sound of my voice, and all of the children of Christians everywhere, that you would protect them all, surround them with your protection, a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire, and Lord, deliver them and protect them from themselves, that they don't make foolish decisions that can damage their lives, and for the next 10 years, it'll take them 10 years to get out of it or more. And so, Holy Father God, help them to obey your holy word. Help them to love you, help to love you back. Help them to trust in you. Help them to fear you, reverence you, and respect you, as we talked about today. Help them to obey you and to be faithful to you. And give them a vision of the consequences of sin and foolish decisions. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. And for his sake, amen. Now, my beloved, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation from sin and the consequences of sin, which is hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you're on the road to hell, even as I speak. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And what I'm saying to you is that you don't have to do anything else. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you've done enough against God and against yourself by sinning. And as I speak and as you listen, you're on your way to hell right now, and you need to trust Christ as Savior, and so that you can avoid going to hell, but also gain going to heaven and gain a life of victory, joy, and peace, even though it will not be easy. For as one of God's servants said, I believe Ian Major, Major Ian or something like that, said, this is no easy road. And I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that the Christian life is easy. It is not. But trusting Christ as your Savior will be the most wonderful thing you've ever done in your life. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you and for the entire world. Jesus Christ is the sacrificial lamb that God had allowed all of the sin of the world to be rolled on him. All of our ugliness, all of our meanness, all of our nastiness, all of our evil rolled onto the sacrificial Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist said, this is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And all you have to do is believe in him. Pray and ask him to save you, and he will save you. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. The Bible says, and thou, you shall be saved. Pray and ask him to save you today. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be on a church pew to be saved. You don't have to go to an altar to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. You don't have to do penance to be saved. You don't have to sit in a booth and confess your sins to a man to be saved. You don't even have to get baptized to be saved. God made it very easy and very simple for you to be saved. God is sitting on the edge of his throne, hoping that you would trust his Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior. He loves you more than you love yourself. He's more eager to see you saved than you are to get saved. So it's not hard. All you have to do is trust him as Savior and let him do the rest. Repeat after me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you in your sight through lusting after people and things, lying, dishonesty and deceit, and stealing, as well as other sins such as dishonoring my parents. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to gospellightsociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Just like you said you would.